Chapter 23. The chance of that job too, why he would take us. Then, should we go, among the branching oaks and the deep fern, by silent ways of mystery known to the keeper, seeing the herd glancing here and there as we went along, until we came to the old hall, solemn and grand. Under the terraced flower garden, and round by the stables, would the keeper take us in, and as we passed we should observe how spacious and stately the stables, and how fine the painting of the horses' names over their stalls, and how solitary all the family being in London. Then, should we find ourselves presented to the housekeeper, sitting, in hushed state, at needlework, in a bay window looking out upon a mighty grim red brick quadrangle, guarded by stone lions disrespectfully throwing somersaults over the escutcheons of the noble family. Then, our services accepted, and we insinuated with a candle into the stable turret, we should find it to be a mere question of pendulum, but one that would hold us until dark. Then, should we fall to work, with a general impression of ghosts being about, and of pictures indoors, that of a certainty, came out of their frames and walked, apostrophe if the family would only own it. Then, should we work and work, until the day gradually turned to dusk, and even until the dusk gradually turned to dark. Our task at length accomplished, we should be taken into an enormous servant's hall, and there regaled with beef and bread, and powerful ale. Then, paid freely, we should be at liberty to go, and should be told by a pointing helper to keep round over yonder by the blasted ash, and so straight through the woods, till we should see the town lights right afore us. Then, feeling lonesome, should we desire upon the whole, that the ash had not been blasted, or that the helper had had the manners not to mention it. However, we should keep on, all right, till suddenly the stable bell would strike 10 in the dolefulest way, quite chilling our blood, though we had so lately taught him how to acquit himself. Then, as we went on, should we recall old stories, and dimly consider what it would be most advisable to do, in the event of a tall figure, all in white, with saucer eyes, coming up and saying, I want you to come to a churchyard, and mend a church clock. Follow me. Apostrophe then, should we make a burst, to get clear of the trees, and should soon find ourselves in the open, with the town lights bright ahead of us. So should we lie that night at the ancient sign of the Crispin and Crispinus, and rise early next morning, to be bedhams on tramp again. Bricklayers often tramp, in twos and threes, lying by night at their lodges, apostrophe which are scattered all over the country. Bricklaying is another of the occupations, that can by no means be transacted in rural parts, without the assistance of spectators of as many as can be convened. In thinly peopled spots, I have known bricklayers on tramp, coming up with bricklayers at work, to be so sensible of the indispensability of lookers-on, that they themselves have sat up in that capacity, and have been unable to subside into the acceptance of a proffered share in the job, for 2 or 3 days together. Sometimes, the navvy, apostrophe on tramp, with an extra pair of half boots over his shoulder, a bag, a bottle, and a can, will take a similar part in a job of excavation, and will look at it without engaging in it, until all his money is gone. The current of my uncommercial pursuits caused me only last summer, to want a little body of workmen for a certain spell of work in a pleasant part of the country. And I was at one time honored with the attendance of as many as 27, who were looking at 6. Who can be familiar with any rustic highway in summer time, without storing up knowledge of the many tramps who go from one oasis of town or village to another, to sell a stock in trade, apparently not worth a shilling when sold? Shrimps are a favorite commodity for this kind of speculation, and so are cakes of a soft and spongy character, coupled with Spanish nuts and brandy balls. The stock is carried on the head in a basket, and, between the head and the basket, are the trestles on which the stock is displayed at trading times. Fleet of foot, but a careworn class of tramp this, mostly, with a certain stiffness of neck, occasioned by much anxious balancing of baskets, and also with a long, Chinese sort of eye, which an overweighted forehead would seem to have squeezed into that form. On the hot moldy roads near seaport towns and great rivers, behold the tramping soldier. And if you should happen never to have asked yourself whether his uniform is suited to his work, perhaps the poor fellow's appearance as he comes distressfully towards you, with his absurdly tight jacket unbuttoned, his neck gear in his hand, and his legs well chafed by his trousers of beige, may suggest the personal inquiry, how you think you would like it. Much better the tramping sailor, although his cloth is somewhat too thick for land service. But, why the tramping merchant mate should put on a black velvet waistcoat, for a chalky country in the dog days, is one of the great secrets of nature that will never be discovered. I have my eye upon a piece of Kentish road, bordered on either side by a wood, and having on one hand, between the road dust and the trees, a skirting patch of grass. Wild flowers grow in abundance on this spot, and it lies high and airy, with a distant river stealing steadily away to the ocean, like a man's life. To gain the milestone here, which the moss, primroses, violets, bluebells, and wild roses, would soon render legible but for peering travelers pushing them aside with their sticks, you must come up a steep hill, come which way you may. So, all the tramps with carts or caravans, the gypsy tramp, the show tramp, the cheap jack find it impossible to resist the temptations of the place, and all turn the horse loose, when they come to it, and boil the pot. Bless the place, I love the ashes of the vagabond fires that have scorched its grass. What tramp children do I see here, attired in a handful of rags, making a gymnasium of the shafts of the cart, making a feather bed of the flints and brambles, making a toy of the hobbled old horse who is not much more like a horse than any cheap toy would be. Here, do I encounter the cart of mats, and brooms and baskets with all thoughts of business given to the evening wind with the stew made, and being served out with cheap jack, and dear Jill striking soft music out of the plates, that are rattled like warlike cymbals, when put up for auction at fairs, and markets their minds so influenced, no doubt, by the melody of the nightingales as they begin to sing in the woods behind them, that if I were to propose to deal, they would sell me anything at cost price. On this hallowed ground has it been my happy privilege, let me whisper it, to behold the white-haired lady with the pink eyes, eating meat pie with the giant. While, by the hedge side, on the box of blankets which I knew contained the snakes, were set forth the cups and saucers and the teapot. It was on an evening in August that I chanced upon this ravishing spectacle, and I noticed that, whereas the giant reclined half-concealed beneath the overhanging boughs and seemed indifferent to nature, the white hair of the gracious lady streamed free in the breath of evening, and her pink eyes found pleasure in the landscape. I heard only a single sentence of her uttering, yet it bespoke a talent for modest repartee. The ill-mannered giant accursed me his evil race, had interrupted the lady in some remark, and, as I passed that enchanted corner of the wood, she gently reproved him, with the words, "Now, Cobby, apostrophe Cobby, so short a name. Ain't one fool enough to talk at a time?" Apostrophe, with an appropriate distance of this magic ground, though not so near it as that the song trolled from tap or bench at door, can invade its woodland silence, is a little hostelry which no man possessed of a penny was ever known to pass in warm weather. Before its entrance are certain pleasant, trimmed limes, likewise, a cool well, with so musical a bucket handle, that its fall upon the bucket rim will make a horse prick up his ears and neigh, upon the droughty road half a mile off. This is a house of great resort for haymaking tramps and harvest tramps, insomuch that as they sit within, drinking their mugs of beer, their relinquished scythes and reaping hooks glare out of the open windows, as if the whole establishment were a family war coach of ancient Britons. Later in the season, the whole countryside, for miles and miles, will swarm with hopping tramps. They come in families, men, women, and children. Every family provided with a bundle of bedding, an iron pot, a number of babies, and too often with some poor sick creature quite unfit for the rough life, for whom they suppose the smell of the fresh hop to be a sovereign remedy. Many of these hoppers are Irish, but many come from London. They crowd all the roads, and camp under all the hedges, and on all the scraps of common land, and live among and upon the hops until they are all picked, and the hop gardens, so beautiful through the summer, look as if they had been laid waste by an invading army. Then, there is a vast exodus of tramps out of the country, and if you ride, or drive round any turn of any road, at more than a foot pace, you will be bewildered to find that you have charged into the bosom of 50 families, and that there are splashing up all around you, in the utmost prodigality of confusion, bundles of bedding, babies, iron pots, and a good-humored multitude of both sexes and all ages, equally divided between perspiration and intoxication. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.